Let's stand up. Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do pray, God, that you bless now the preaching of thy holy word. You help us. We certainly need your help. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate your standing. Last week, I began this series, at least in this section of this passage of Scripture, on what I've entitled, Getting What You Need From God. Let me say it again. Getting what you need from God. Hey, now, well, wait a minute. You know you need a whole lot of stuff from God. Come on now. If you don't want to amen the rest of the message, amen this part. You know you need to get some things from God. The problem is we don't know how to get it. We struggle with getting through. We don't know the number. We don't know where to call. We don't know how to call. We know where the answers are, but we know not how to approach the one who has the answers. I spoke last week about the very depressing reality that exists in an individual who doesn't know how to get through to God. How tragic it is for a husband to lead his wife and he can't get through to God. A mother to lead her children, she cannot get through to God. A young person to live in 2012 amidst all of the vices and the trials and the test of life and the attacks of Satan and not know how to get through to God. Listen to me. We're not serving a God or praying to a God or worshiping a God who's against us. Listen to me. God is for us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible when David talks about his enemies in Psalm 56. Some great verses in Psalm 56. Here's one of them. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Thank the Lord. I'm trusting God when I'm afraid. But here's another statement in Psalm 56 that encourages me. He talks about when his enemies come towards him, they must turn back. And here's what he said. For this I know God is for me. And I love the fact that God is for me. But the truth of the matter is, just because he's for you doesn't mean you're getting through to him. And many times it is the things in our lives that disallow us to get through to a God who wants to bless us, who wants to protect us, who wants to provide for us, who wants to ensure us the peace of mind and the peace of life that we just heard her sing about. Listen to me, God wants you to be able to have a testimony every single day. It is well with my soul. But often most Christians don't get through. Most of them don't get through. And it's because they're not approaching God the right way. So we spoke last week about this subject of ask. Ask! The whole context of Matthew chapter 7, as he gets to judging, that you be not judged. And he talks about righteous judging and unlawful judging and how it is not our place to assume the place of God. If you agree with that, say amen. You're not God. You can't be God. You never will be God, so you shouldn't try to be God. Amen. God is doing good at being God by himself. So he's telling us we're not to assume or presume or to misunderstand. We're not to pass judgment on people without having the proper skills and tools to be able to do so. And he's saying we often find ourselves judging people by a standard that we don't want to be judged by ourselves. And he says, remember, when you come down hard on people, they have to come down hard on you. Judge not that you be not judged. What meet you meet, it shall also be measured of you. And then, of course, he tells us that when we become so judgmental, we are capable of seeing all of the little things in everyone else and missing the major things in ourselves. It's so clear. David is so condemning when he hears about the man who has taken the one sheep from someone who had many of his own. And David says, kill him. He should restore. He needs to be judged. And Nathan looks at him and says, thou art the man. In other words, you're so quick to judge somebody, but you're guilty of the same sin yourself. And God is trying to tell us, make sure that we're not judging him. Make sure that we're not judging him properly. By the way, he makes it very clear, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So the condemnation from God is not to judge at all, but he's saying, if you judge, you judge right. And make sure that you don't judge wrong. And by the way, he's saying, you're not even capable of judging others if you've got sin in your own life. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. We had a time in that verse, didn't we? And God is saying, don't waste the good stuff on people that don't care for it. Don't throw steak out to your dog. Give it to somebody that's going to appreciate it. Amen. Make sure that you are investing the proper time in the right people, that you're not wasting your time. And by the way, when you waste your time, you waste God's time, because your time is God's time. And you ought to be redeeming because the days are evil. Don't cast your pearls to the swine. They trample them under the feet and turn again and rend you. Swine are not interested in pearls. They don't understand the value of pearls. They don't understand the treasure of pearls. They don't understand the significance of pearls. And when you start giving valuable things to hogs, you're not doing very much that's wise with that which is valuable. And I shudder to think how many Christians are taking God's intellect, God's energy, God's talents, God's abilities, God's giftedness, God's time, God's resources, the job that God has given you, the influence that God has given you, the impact that God has given you, the friends and the loved ones and the co-workers and the teammates and the school teachers and the classmates that God has surrounded you with. And you are giving out the wrong stuff to the wrong people. And then when the right people need it, you don't have anything left to give. God help us. So then he got into this subject of ask. Ask. Last week we began by saying this word ask is signifying pleading. He says, plead with God. Plead with God. But we understand that the pleading must come from a surrendered person. In other words, just because I'm pleading doesn't mean God's going to answer, because sometimes the pleading comes from someone that's not surrendered. By the way, God makes it very clear. Don't expect him to meet your desperate needs. Watch this now. When you are turning your ear away from the desperate needs of others. Proverbs 28 and 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I almost chuckle sometimes at the Christian people who are so hungry for financial help and so stingy with helping financially. And you can't understand why people are just not swarming by the droves to pull you out of your financial drowning, and yet you wouldn't even turn your ear long enough to listen to a brother or sister that's down and out. Let me tell you something. There's going to come a day, or come a time, when you need God more than you need him, more than you ever needed him before. And I hope you can look back down the reminiscence of life and say there was a time when somebody was without, somebody was negligent, somebody was ignored, and I drove out of my way. I gave what I didn't have. I loaned and didn't expect to be paid back. Why? God has shed abroad his love by the Holy Ghost in my heart, and it ain't about giving so somebody includes me in their testimony. It's about giving because I love Jesus. No question in my mind. It's got to come from a surrendered person. Surrendered people are others' mind. So I'm saying this to the person that's saying, wait a minute, Matthew 7, ain't true. I'm asking, I'm not receiving. I'm asking you, Mr. Asker, Miss Asker, I'm asking you, are you surrendered? Are you surrendered? Will a man rob God? Malachi 3. Yeah, he said, wherein have you robbed me? Response in tithes and offering. Now I'm asking you a question. When you ask God to come through for you, I'll ask you a question. Have you been robbing him? Yeah, there we go on that money stuff. Listen, you don't get nervous when you preach about money. By the way, Jesus preached more about money than he did heaven.
Study scripture. Sure he did. Why? Because he was interested in money? Are you kidding me? He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. You really think he preached on money because he needed it to make heaven's economy last? He didn't preach on money because he needed your money. He preached on money because he knows how much you love it. And he knows if you come up off of that, there's not much that you won't come up off of. I wish somebody say amen. And some of you say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Well, it maybe don't have any. And so therefore, there's something else that ranks higher in your life because you have more of that. But God will put his thing on the one thing. Remember the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18? Him, Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted to inherit eternal life. Inherit eternal life. What? By the way, oftentimes, the reason why you don't get the answer to what you need in your heart is because you phrased your question wrong. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, you've already messed up in asking the question because you don't do anything. Then I wish somebody say amen. For by grace are you saved through faith in and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3 and 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. You hear that? But according to his mercy. Thank God. When my old deprived, disobedient, doomed and damned soul find its way headed down to a devil's hell, that God looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Grace gave me salvation when I didn't deserve it. Mercy held back hell when I did deserve it. And because of God, he gave me what I couldn't get on my own merits. Salvation's all of God. What must I do for you? Well, love the Lord with all my heart, my soul. And yeah, I've kept all the commandments. I've observed it from my youth up. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But let's let you continue. We'll give you that lie. I'll do one thing for you. Go sell all you have in your temple. And then after you broke, come follow me. You know what scripture said? He left sorrowful. God, one, no scripture. Read it for your own. Read it. One thing lackest thou. Isn't it amazing that Christ has the discernment to put his finger on the one thing that keeps us from trusting him completely? And for that man, it was his money. Then he proceeded to teach the disciple. You have an easier time getting a camel through the eye of a needle than you will a rich man into heaven. Because it is hard to get somebody to part with their money and to lean wholly on Jesus. And we're like that today. The love of money is the root of all evil. You know what you're going to find out when you love money? There's nothing that you will not do to get it. Nothing. By the way, and there's nothing that you won't do to keep it. But I want you to know something. When you die, you can't do anything to take it with you. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, everybody likes to quote that verse when they're broke. But you must understand that that verse is a verse that comes from the lips of somebody that in one day, in one conversation, lost his barns, his money, his kids, and everything. And I'm asking you, you like to quote Job because it sounds spiritual, but do you quote Job when you're at the bottom? And you still quote Job? Or are you quoting Job? Just take my life. I might as well die. Go sell all you have. If you want to come to me, this is what Jesus was trying to do. He wanted this fella to approach the master desperate. I want to ask you a question. Are you okay with God rendering you desperate? When is the last time? I'm not asking the last time you prayed. You're way too fundamentally smart not to pray. If it's not just for your food, before you leave the house, nobody here will say, I ain't prayed in 3 months. I mean, some folks smart enough to pray at 5:58 because you know I'm going to preach on it. But I mean, you're going to pray. Everybody's going to pray. I'm not going to ask you one last time you prayed. I'm going to ask you one last time you pleaded with God. You know why we don't plead? Because we don't need them that bad. So that pleading must come from a surrendered person. Last week, that pleading must come for a spiritual purpose. Well, I
asked. Yeah, but you didn't ask for anything spiritual. Oh, yes, I did. I asked for something spiritual. Yeah, but you weren't going to use it in a spiritual way. I want to ask you ladies, you single ladies, why you want a husband? I want to ask you a single man, why do you want a wife? Well, it just seems like everybody getting one. That's why you want one? And you wondering if God heard you. He heard you. Well, you know how silly you are. If he gave you the wife while you asked for it, you'd go from wrecking one person's life, which is your own, to wrecking two. So you are pleading. Oh, you really feel desperate. Oh, Pastor, you just don't know. I am desperate. I know. But you may be immature too. Unspiritual. You're not wearing yourself out for Jesus as a single man. What are you going to do when you have a wife to take care of? Lord have mercy. You don't want a wife right now, Lord. You want a wife? No, not right now. Okay. I wonder why you was yelling, praise, praise. Folks always get loud on the part that don't apply to them. But no, hey, I start preaching on something else. She said, what happened? Did so-and-so go to the bathroom? No, I'm in his business now. But you cool on that part, but you don't need a wife right now. Praise, praise. All right. Give me a few moments. I'll get on you, man. Spiritual purpose. James said, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask to consume it on your own lust. I want to ask questions. You have a car? You don't have a car. Why you want one? Well, that's none of your business, Pastor. Well, don't tell me that. Tell the Holy Ghost. You don't have to say it out loud. Tell the Holy Ghost why you want a car. You want a raise? Tell the Holy Ghost why you want a raise. So you can get more to mission. Anybody need purpose? Put some rims on the car. I'm talking to the ladies when I say purpose. Or for the men that want to purchase it for their wife. I'm asking you fellas, you're a teenager. You want a job? Why? You want a job? Why? You teenagers want a job? I'm asking a question. Okay. You get one. You get one. I'm telling you, off the time, I'm going to watch whether or not you ever put an envelope in. You want a job? You got to tell us, pray for it. You want a title on it? No? Well, don't tell me, pray for it. Well, that's kind of rough. No. You're asking to consume it on your own lust. Why you want a new job, Lord? You want a new Jordans? You want a new video game? You want a new iPhone? Or you want a new job so that you don't have to feel bad when the plate comes by and you can't promote the kingdom? Oh, somebody help me preach. I'm asking why you want a job. I'm asking some of you couples, why you want a child? Because that's just the ideal family. No? Some people having kids don't need to have no kids. Amen. The kids they have, the high waters and hand-me-downs and all of this stuff, and more children and all this kind of thing. They're not training them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord, and they're touching their food before the service, our servant. No more kids. Some people have kids because it's status. You ever thought about God? I want to have kids so I can raise a missionary. Give me a boy because there's just a chance. If he's male, he's got a 50-50 chance at preaching. I wish somebody said amen. And if it's a girl, let her marry one. And if she don't, just let her marry a godly non-preacher. If he's not in full-time service, let him serve full-time. If he's not a full-time Christian worker, let him be a full-time Christian. Why are you asking God? Pastor, I got a prayer list. I got a prayer list. I got a prayer list. Whoop-de-doo. You go down and tell me every item on there. You tell me why you want it answered. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to get this promotion. For what? So I can be a better position to influence people for Christ's sake. It's got to be for a spiritual purpose. It ought to be with a sure perspective. We ask anything in His name, He will do it. Ask in faith, nothing wavering, James 1, 6 and 7. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Don't worry, if you don't believe God will, He won't.
I'm praying. I'll tell you what, I'm praying. I just don't know. When was the last time you got up sure it was done? That means it's done. I love the psalmist. Psalm 52. Psalm 52.
I will praise thee, for thou hast done it. By the way, what he was praising God for, God not had done. But he was praising God as if God had done it, because in his mind, it was done before it was done. Is that 52?
Glory, hallelujah. 52:9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And then it's a seeming contradiction. I will wait on thy name.
Wait. I thought you said God has done it. If God's done it, what are you waiting for? Hey, listen to me. I'm not waiting for God to do it so I can praise him. I've already believed that God has done it. I'm waiting for God to do it just so your knuckleheads can find out he did. But in my book, if God said it, I believe it. That sells it. He's done it. Amen. The doctors can find out 3 months from now. But in my book, it's done. I will praise thee. I'm saying, I wish somebody just get to praising God before the good report, before the raise, before you get the car, before the cancer is gone, before the diabetes go away, before you get number one on the transplant list. Just praise God, because whenever he decides, all things are working for your good. And if God has ordained it for my life, it's all good. I will praise thee, for thou hast done it.
And I'll wait on you to do it. But you've done it. Even though you haven't done it. But I'm praising you because you've done it. And I can't wait till you do it. Which you already did.
That's how God works. See, if faith cannot secure reality, it is a masquerade of faith. Listen. Finished faith should mirror each other precisely. You hear me now? Read Hebrews 11. These all died not having received the promise. But verse 2 of Hebrews 7 said, by it the elders obtained a good report. What is it? Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith brings the future within the present, and it makes the invisible seen. Let me tell you, Abraham left by faith. Noah, hey, he withdrew by faith. Enoch walked by faith. Noah worked by faith. Abel worshiped by faith. Joshua wore by faith. Moses withstood by faith. And we win by faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith, it ought to be when God comes through. You're not going, oh my goodness, when it ought to be way back when I'd already seen him come through by faith. Faith secures that which cannot be secured through the spiritual realm. Listen to me, the blessings of God are on the other side of the door, but faith is the key that unlocks the door. And some of us are waiting for God to open the door, and we ought to just open it by faith. God help us. Please. Ought to come for a supernatural provision. Why are you praying to God? You ought to be praying to God for grace, for guidance, for goodness. I said last week, I've never heard preached this way, but I believe it's in context. That I believe that primarily when Jesus said, asking it shall be given unto you, that the biggest thing he felt they needed to ask for was the grace to do what he had just spent two chapters telling them to do. And I want to ask you a question. How many times this week did you pray the prayer in Matthew 7 for God to help you live Matthew 5 and 6? I've got a prayer list. Is help me to be a peacemaker on there?
It's helped me to mourn for my sin on there. It's helped me to hunger and thirst for righteousness on there. It's helped me to be somebody that suffers for righteousness' sake and is still happy. Is that on there? It's being poor in spirit. Is that on there? Hey, let me tell you something. It's being merciful. Is that on there? It's helping me seek the first, the kingdom of God. Is that on there? It's helped me lay up for myself treasures in heaven. Is that on your prayer list? It's helped me have a single mind. Is that on your? It's helped me not to worry. Help me not to suffer from anxiety. Help me not to be stressed out. Is that on there? It's helped me fast right, pray right, give right, go right, and live right. Is that on there? Or all these tangible things on your prayer list? Somebody ought to be asking God, help me be godly. Beg him, beg him. But God, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to live a carnal life. I don't want to live a life that disgraces the name of Jesus. If I don't get a new job, if I don't get a new car, if I don't get a new race, if I don't get a new house, God, just wake me up tomorrow morning and help me live the kingdom life in a world that's lost without Jesus Christ. Help me love my enemies. Bless them that curse me and do good to those which despitefully use and abuse me. Help me learn to turn the cheek, to walk the second mile, to give the coat and the cloak. Help me love to be a blessing to those that don't bless me back. Help me love those that hate me. That's what I'm begging you for. If I never get the things, if I get that, I can make it. That's the pleading. Supernatural provision. Write this down. Pursuit. Seek. Seek. Ask. He says, seek. I want to ask you not only what you're pleading about, I'm asking you what you're pursuing. Now watch this now. To ask is to beg God for it. To seek is to run at it. God, God, help me to be a better soul winner. You ever thought about packing your pocket with tracks and taking an evening and just hitting the complex? Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir it up. If God put it in you, don't just sit there and go, God gave it to me, let him figure out how. No, stir it up. I've longed for thy salvation. Psalm 119, 174. Thy law is my delight. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but give him all liberally, and shall be given. 3:20 of Ephesians. Now in him that is able to be exceeding abundantly above all we ask, according to the power of God. 2 Samuel 7:25. Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning this house, establish it forever. Move my soul and do as thou hast said. Did you hear that? Here's what the servant of God said. That which you said about thy servant, establish it and do what you said. God, all the good stuff that is written down in your Bible that you want to do to all those that love you, make me love you. Help me serve you. Give me a heart after you so that I can be living proof that the Bible's true. Establish it. Let people read the Bible and look at my life and go, yep, match, match. Do as thou said. Oh God, I'm running after you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. I want to ask you a question. How bad are you running? Is there earnestness in you? It's an earnest pursuit. There ought to be an internal sincerity and an intense search. I'm asking you a question. That which you're running after, do you mean it from your heart? How much fakeness and frothness and hypocrisy do you have in you? How much of your Christian language is spoken to impress your brother? How much of your gobbledygook do you really know? When you raise your hand and put your name on the prayer list, I'll ask you a question. While a church full of people is begging God on your behalf, you tell me how much you're doing in between Wednesday and the next Wednesday while we're all praying. How much of what you ask us to pray for are you pursuing? Now watch this here. Watch this here. I'm not going to pray for you to get a job if you're not looking for it. What in the world are we praying? Pray for me to get well, you know, I take care of yourself. Pray for my marriage, you're not working out. Pray for my children. And you let them live like the devil. No, pray that you get right with God and then you'll pray for it. You ought to be that there's an earnestness. Tell me Mark 2, 4, and 5. They could not get in for the press, so they cut a hole in the roof and broke up the tile and let their friend down. Seek, and you shall find. Here's the problem with the average one of us. We come up to the building and see that it's too full to get our friend to Jesus, so we turn around and go back home. Those in Mark chapter 2 said, if we can't get in through the front door, we'll climb the building and bust in the roof. Seek, and ye shall find. I'm asking you a question. Are you desperate enough for God to try to get in a different way? They said no. Doctor said no. Mama said no. Boss said no. But I'm desperate. Lord, teach us to pray. Disciples in Luke 11, 1. 1 Corinthians 8, if you think you know anything, you know nothing. Seek and you shall find. I am the Lord thy God. Psalm 81, 10 and 11. I'm closing. Which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Here's what they're saying. They're begging me to feed them, but they won't listen to what I tell them. But our prayers for you don't match up with your pursuit of God, we might as well not pray. It's an earnest pursuit. It's an exhaustive pursuit. It's a tactical one and a thorough one. I want to ask a question. How much brainstorming have you done? How much brainstorming have you done? How much figuring out? Now, I understand prayer is spiritual business. I understand supernatural working in the hand of God is not anything you can help or assist. But I also am a firm believer that you should not expect God to do for you what you can do for yourself. You don't need a new version of the Bible to be a better Bible reader. You need to read King James. And the problem with ministry and serving is not that there's not an outlet ministry that jives with your personality. The problem is you don't want to serve better. I'm saying tactical, thorough.
God, I want to do this. God, I need you. God, I need this done. You know what we'll do this week? I'm going to sit down and find out, am I doing everything? Am I trying every avenue? Have I searched every aspect? Have I looked at every venue? Oh, God, if I want to grow, give me an online course. Let me read another book. Let me disciple with somebody spiritual. Let me hang around godly people. But let me not sit here on my spiritual wealth. And wait on the windows of heaven to bypass my slothfulness and secure me all of God's spiritual life. Let's go for God. Let's look for God. He's not hiding. He's not hiding. No, he's not. But let me tell you something that's equally true. The God that we serve is not hiding, but he's also not habitating in most of the places where his people hang out.
All week long I was looking, but I couldn't find him. Turn the TV off. Turn the internet off. You quit loading up pictures on Instagram every day, you might find him.
And the stuff that people put on it. Stuff that people say. The stuff that people broadcast. The showcase of their own self-centeredness. Look at me. Look at what I wore. Look at what I buy. Look at what I have. I ask you, if you have all that idle time on your hands, what do you have left to look for Jesus? You're so frantic. On the run, on the move. Zoom, 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 zoom. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up. How you doing? You talk, you run past Christian. How you doing? I'm going to go, brother. Gotta go. I mean, they're running into church. They're running out of church. They're flying in. Whoosh, good evening. Whoosh. I mean, they're gone. Enough time for fellowship. They're going after stuff. Some folk have to leave every service during the closing prayer. And it's not the time, because the times are different. You still leave. Are you in that big of a hurry? Do you realize that there's a member in this church that if you stay long enough, they might help you in your walk with God? There's good stuff that happens after the benediction. Amen. Some of you leave during the prayer, and some of you won't never leave. But I mean, there's somewhere in between where we all have to find ourselves. I'm always amazed. They said, well, come on, hurry up, finish the message, and then nobody will leave. They're still here. Girl, what's going on? I said, kept preaching. We don't have time for God. We're so full. I need another plate of the world. You just had three plates of worldliness. Yeah, but I think I can cram one more in. Gotta go. Where are you going? Gotta get to my show. Gotta run. Got appointments. Busy. Just always busy. How you been doing? Well, I just busy. Been running all week long. I'm asking, did you catch anything you're chasing? Vroom. Come into church and at a pit stop. How you doing? Well, I'm just in between stuff. Well, I'm telling you something. It would do your self-esteem some good to actually catch something you chase. And Jesus said, you seek for me with your whole heart, I'll let you catch me. Catch it one time, it'll do something for you. You know what you do? You get up and run again. Now, I'm telling you, I've been searching for him before and found him. I've been desperate and hungry and dry and weary, worn out, fell on my knees, found wood in a dry land, peace in the midst of a storm. I'm telling you, I know what it is on a Saturday evening to get a word from God. You think, I'm really not. I'm going to quit.
Seek me.
Don't keep blaming God while you didn't get it. God's got the power. But you have to do the pursuit. Amen. Told you about the, just talk about the football players and all this stuff. I want to go to the league. Well, do you exercise? No, but you're just looking for, trying to get my breakthrough. You don't get a breakthrough. You'll break your leg, your arm, your hamstring, all of them. You can break everything. Because you won't put in the work. Let's run after God. Come on, church. Let's run after God. Let's go together. I mean, if you're in. Oh, I want God. I want God so bad. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his. Create in me a clean, clean heart and renew a right spirit and restore unto me the joy. Oh, I don't know if I have to pray for me. I lost my joy. I'm not excited about being saved. Then go to the place where you got saved. Find the spot. Look up the card. Rehearse it in your Bible. Ask somebody what was going on. But for heaven's sake, you want joy. Chase joy. Joy. Pursue joy. He shall. Next week, we're going to help the Holy Spirit. Now, we shall be open. Our Father, thank you.